Dirks doffed his hat from his bald head and continued in his bandy-legged gait toward the station house, his red bandana fluttering around his leathery neck. Yakima watched him, then cut his eyes toward the window left of the front door again. Nothing there now but a 2x2 square of deep purple afternoon shade. Still, Yakima's heart thudded slowly, persistently. He hurried forward.
Avril!
The driver stopped halfway between Yakima and the shack's small plank stoop, his previous humor still etched on his full chapped lips, liquid brown eyes catching the sunlight angling under the brim of his Stetson.
What is it, Junker? You want me to buy you a drink? Come on.
Nah.
Yakima feigned a grin and wrapped one arm around the driver's skinny neck as he continued toward the station house.
Let me buy you one.
Dirk scowled.
Wait a minute. I didn't think you drank the fire water.
I don't. You know how engines are with a tanglefoot. We get drunk and the devil takes the hindmost. But since it's such a hot damn day and all...
Yakima and Dirk stopped on the stoop before the front door. Yakima's blood was rushing, the hair beneath the collar of his chambray shirt sticking straight up in the air. Dirks was about to place his hand on the door's steel and leather latch, but Yakima beat him to it.
Allow me.
Dirks looked at Yakima suspiciously, pooching out his lips.
Now, why in the hell you acting so strange all of a sudden?
Age before beauty.
Yakima flipped the latch. As the door swung inward, he withdrew his arm from around the driver's neck, planted his hand on Dirks's left shoulder, and shoved the small man hard.
Hey!
Dirks threw his arms out as he flew sideways off the stoop. Yakima caught a brief glimpse of a hatted silhouette facing him from only a few feet beyond the stoop before he sidestepped to his left, swinging around and pressing his back to the front station house wall. The blast of the double-barreled shotgun sounded like near thunder. The double-aught buck caromed through the open door, tearing slivers from both sides of the door frame and spewing them into the yard. The echo of the blast hadn't died before Yakima had cocked the yellow boy, shifted it to his left hand, and snaked it around the side of the chewed-up door frame, poking the barrel into the station house. He fired once, then turned into the door opening, crouching and racking a fresh shell in the Winchester's chamber. Squinting, unable to see much but vague man-shapes in the shadows, he fired. Pivoting at the waist while triggering, hearing men shout and scream and try to scramble out of the path of Yakima's lead. Powder smoke wafting in front of him, the half-breed bounded forward and saw the man he'd shot first lying sprawled on his back on the earthen floor 10 feet in front of the door, his shotgun lying nearby. Another man was sliding down the wall beside the building's far front window. A rifle barked off Yakima's right flank. The bullet burned across Yakima's side and he dove forward across the scarred, punching eating table. As he hit the floor on his shoulder and rolled, two more bullets slammed into the top of the table. Yakima pushed up off the toes of his moccasins and lifted a look over the top of the table. The big man standing in the building's far corner was loudly racking a fresh cartridge into the breech of his Henry rifle, his curly bib beard dancing across his chest. As his ejected shell clanked off the wall behind him, he raised the rifle to his shoulder, but not before Yakima pressed the stock of his yellow boy against his own shoulder and squeezed the rifle's trigger. The rifle leaped and roared. The bearded man flew back and crashed back first through the window behind him, glass flying. Yakima ejected his last spent cartridge. It pinged off the ceiling joist behind him as he racked a fresh one into the chamber, and still on his haunches, swung around. There was no movement. The gray powder smoke hung heavy in the dark room, lit only by the windows. Only one of the attackers appeared to still be alive. There'd been four, Yakima reckoned. The one in front of the door with the shotgun, the man on the other side of the table now, the man now on the floor beneath the far window to Yakima's right, and the man who'd fallen out the window to Yakima's left. Yakima swung around, quickly and automatically thumbing fresh cartridges into the yellow boy's scrolled brass receiver. Before him, in the far wall, was a curtained doorway. He knew from previous visits that this led back into the station house's sleeping area and into Bannon's private living quarters. Yakima walked forward. He slid the curtain back with his rifle barrel, carefully scrutinizing the narrow hall that was lit by an open door and a window at the other end. Stepping forward, Yakima let the curtain fall back into place behind him and continued slowly, one step at a time, down the short hall, scrutinizing the two doorways on his right, one on his left, both sleeping quarters for overnight stage passengers. As he approached the second doorway on his left, He saw that the curtain was partly pulled back to reveal a dusky figure sitting up on a cot. The girl had sandy hair, and she was sitting with her back to the room's far corner. She held a blanket partway around her naked body, revealing one pink breast and the inside of her left leg. Her head was turned away from the door, as though in shame. Her disheveled hair hung down over the side of her face. Her shoulders jerked as she sobbed. Yakima put his right foot down in front of the doorway and held the barrel of his cocked Winchester against the curtain covering half of the doorway on the right side. The girl's head swung toward him, and she peered at him darkly through the screen of her hair. She sucked in a bellyful of air and drew the blanket over her exposed breast. Her stricken gaze slid slightly toward Yakima's right, pausing on the wall right of the door. Her eyes seemed to widen slightly, anxiously, and then they slid back to Yakima. She bunched her cheeks and quivering lips, crying softly. Yakima swung the barrel of his yellow boy to the right, aiming at the wall beside the door. He triggered two quick shots. On the cot, the girl jumped with a start, hair jostling about her bare shoulders. There was the plunk of a heavy-booted foot. Yakima bounded into the room and, cocking the yellow boy, which he held out from his right hip, swung to his right, where a man was staggering and pinwheeled toward the back wall, where there was a low shelf of books below a coat hook and an oval-framed daguerreotype. The man fell back against the wall, dropping his Winchester carbine and planting both hands on the low shelf, holding himself there while two holes in his torso pumped blood out from his chest, most of which was exposed by the open flaps of his long-handled underwear shirt. He was a tall man with thick curly brown hair hanging to his shoulders, beneath a tan Stetson with a Montana crease in its crown. An ivory-gripped Colt was holstered low on his right thigh, though he wasn't wearing anything but the long handles, hat, and white socks with a hole in the right toe. The man's eyes moved to Yakima. A pleading cast washed over them as he panted and winced against the bullets that had torn through him.
Please. No.
Yakima glanced at the girl cowering atop the cot. Her right cheek and eye were swollen. Yakima slid his eyes back to the wounded man before him. He reached forward and plucked the outlaw's pistol from its holster. He wedged the revolver behind his own cartridge belt, then grabbed the man by the front of his underwear shirt. Yakima buried his hand in the man's thick hair falling over his left ear and pulled him by his hair out the doorway and up the hall and into the station house's main room. And then he had the man out the station house's front door.
No!
Yakima swung the man around in front of him and the man pinwheeled, dropping to the ground on his hands and knees.
Someone make this engine stop!
Yakima stopped 10 feet away from the man, and just as the man began to lift up off his knees, he snugged the butt of his yellow boy against his right shoulder and aimed carefully. The bullet plowed through the dead center of the outlaw's tan forehead, jerking the man's head violently back and painting the ground behind him with blood, bone, and brain matter. The outlaw flew straight back and lay with his arms and legs spread, mouth forming a startled O, his sightless eyes staring skyward. Avril Dirks walked up to Yakima and stared grimly down at the dead man.
Grise. Tanner Grise. Dangerous damn trail dog. He hit us once about 7 months ago.
Yakima ejected the spent cartridge from the yellow boy's breech, seated fresh ones, and off-cocked the hammer, just in case his cleanup wasn't finished yet.